The Palomar Cancer Institute is going to be all about family.
I get to understand their story, what they've been through in life, and how to get them back to that story. Help them defeat the fear of cancer, get through that journey, and you get to see the real person emerge underneath the illness.
We're going to put a lot of time and energy into making sure that you get the experience that we would want if we were patients.
At Palomar Health, we are the leaders in quality and expertise in the region.
High school football back in San Diego. John Schaefer and Jonathan Rifkin. We're going to break it down. It is game time on Your View. We've got our 2023 schedule in today's episode of Left Coast Sports, made possible by our friends at Palomar Health. Palomar Health, champions aren't made overnight. They're created through practice, determination, and dedication. Palomar Health, champions of healthcare, champions for you. Jonathan, we're looking forward to this. We'll be on the call throughout the course of this 2023 season. Before we get into some of our schedule, what are you most looking forward to with the season about to start in about a week or so?
Continuity, I think, throughout the section here, John. It's been a long 7 months since high school football graced us with its presence, and it's an exciting season. There's a ton of talent up across the section. Lincoln probably returning the top team after winning the state championship. Madison will step up. We're going to see Granite Hills out of the eastern part of the county with a returning quarterback and a ton of returning talent on the defensive line. Overall, I think, you know, the top 10, top 20 teams from last year in the section have returned most of their talent. We're going to see if they elevate. And there's a bunch of new teams that are entering their names into the conversations as well. We've seen two NFL head coaches or two NFL players get hired as head coaches here in the county. Eric Weddle at Rancho Bernardo, Nick Barnett at Del Norte. Curious to see how that pans out for two first-time head coaches at two programs that are rising to prominence here in San Diego. So there's a ton of headlines, a ton of stories, and I'm excited to get to all of it.
Yeah, we're going to run through the schedule in a moment. Before we do that, how do you just feel in general about high school football in the county, where it is today compared to maybe where it was a handful of years ago and where it's going moving forward?
I mean, it's growing. Obviously, we've seen the perennials maybe take a step back, the Mission Hills, Latter Day Catholics thing at the top. But I like that. We're seeing a reversal of talent, right? It's not just your normal Cathedral Catholics and Torrey Pines and St. Augustine's that are dominating the county now. We're seeing talent really spread out from North County to East County down all the way to South Bay. And it's a really healthy feel here in San Diego in terms of competition, in terms of players stepping up. I mean, we have a quarterback who is committed to Alabama in Julian Sain at Carlsbad. He probably is the highest recruit. Maybe Tyler Buckner, who was at Notre Dame, is now at Alabama fighting for the starting spot, who was at Bishop's. Maybe he was the as close as it comes to the top recruit in San Diego. But in the near recent past, I mean, we have players at the top of the football food chain nationally, and it's a good feeling to have.
As an Oregon alum, as someone that lives in the West and has lived in the West, what's going to be the impact of what's happened here in college football in the West, specifically with the Pac-12? What's going to be the impact on the talent, which already, to your point, has national appeal with quarterbacks going to Alabama? Is it going to be harder for schools in Southern California to retain talent moving forward with what's going on in the Pac-12 or not?
You know, it's interesting. I think that Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA recruit Southern California so well. San Diego is a really good example. I mean, we had Jaleel Tucker and Jaleel Florence, who are both at Oregon. Now Tucker is transferring, both from Lincoln High School. We had a Morris running back, Caldwell, who is at Byron Caldwell. I'm getting my football players confused. Who went to Oregon? USC gets wide receivers from the county. UCLA picks up defensive linemen from the county. The schools that are transitioning from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten, I think, become that much more attractive because you're playing the top talent in the nation any given week in your conference. No offense to the Pac-12 programs that those four schools are leaving behind, but I do think the Ohio States and the Michigans of the world are a step up. So I do think there's a little bit more attraction in terms of the transition for those four schools going from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. It's going to be interesting to see how that affects the likes of Oregon State and Washington. Oregon State has a Southern California quarterback in DJ Uiagalelei. He went to Clemson, he transferred, but you know, that's a name that I don't know if you have if you're not in the Pac-12 with your Oregon State. I'm curious to see if we're going to see those two schools specifically, whether or not they're still in a Power 5 conference, start to struggle in recruiting an area that they've been so successful in over the past decade or so.
All right, John Schaefer, Jonathan Rifkin with you. Again, we're going to take a look at our game time on Your View schedule here. We've got 9 games, 8 of which we've announced. There's a TBA game for the final game of the season. I'm just going to run through the schedule, and then we're going to get into this first game of the year, which is August 24th. That's coming up, 7 o'clock. It's a Thursday night. Most of these games are a Thursday night. Vista at Ramona. We're going to get into that one coming up in a moment. Our second game is going to be on September 7th at 7 p.m. It's Lincoln at Mater Dei. Game 3 will be the following week, Thursday, September 14th at 7 p.m., Escondido at Oceanside. Game 4 is a game on Saturday, La Jolla Country Day in Bishop, Saturday, September 30th at 7 p.m. The fifth game, Hilltop at East Lake, it's Thursday, October 5th at 7 p.m. Game 6, El Cap at Mount Miguel, Thursday, October 12th at 7 p.m. Our seventh game, Mission Hills at El Camino, that's Thursday, October 19th at 7 p.m. And the eighth game, Madison at St. Augustine, Friday, October 20th. At 7 p.m., we'll have another game as well, Jonathan, on Thursday, October 26th. Before we get into this first game, which is coming up August 24th, what do you make of this schedule overall?
Oh, it's stacked. I mean, we're talking about Lincoln at Mater Dei. That's arguably number one versus the number three team in this section. We have Oceanside, who is rebuilding, retooling, trying to get back to their winning ways as the northernmost school in this county outside of Fallbrook, who's a little bit east of that. We have a Mount Miguel team with a brand-new coaching staff, full of Team Akase guys who are going to go in there and try to bring a football culture to a school that has largely struggled on the gridiron. El Camino Mission Hills is a rivalry going back 3 decades. Both schools have had recent success in the section. Mission Hills has fallen off just a tad after the Chris Olave years. El Camino starting to elevate St. Augustine as a new third-year head coach, Rod Gladnick, excuse me, who used to be at Torrey Pines. He's trying to implement a new system offensively there. Madison is elevated defensively. I mean, this is end-to-end very good stuff, John. I am very excited for each and every one of these matchups.
And I like the standalone Thursday evenings. Not all of them, but we're going to get a lot of Thursday night football beginning August 24th. Let's get into this one a little bit. Vista at Ramona. Vista, a complete overhaul, right? Winless a year ago. Ramona a year ago had a nice season, 8 wins overall. So when we take a first blush glance at this game, August 24th at 7 p.m., Vista at Ramona, what sticks out to you?
It's interesting. These are two very different teams. On one side, you have the home team, the Ramona Bulldogs, back in Division I for the first time in almost 7 seasons. Back in 2016 was their last time up in D1. They were a dominant force then. But you have a veteran head coach who is in his 19th season in Damon Baldwin. You have 14 returning starters from a team, as you mentioned, who went 8-5 and did enough to get elevated not only into Division I, but also into the Palomar League, which is far more competitive than the Valley League, where they played their last 3 seasons. You have returning wide receiver slash defensive back Jamil Kassab, who was a first teamer on both sides of the ball last year. You have your new quarterback, Atticus Enriquez. He's going to be teaming up with his brother, Adrian, who will be the running back for this team. I mean, you have a ton of continuity. You have an old school head coach who's been there for a long time. And Vista's sort of the antithesis of that. You said they were rebuilding, right? This was a team that had to be overhauled after an 0-10 season. They hire a new head coach, Vika Faatoise, who has never been a head coach before. At the varsity level, he was an assistant coach throughout Colorado. He's a former Vista Panther. He played at the University of Montana for a couple of years. So he has a ton of playing experience. He's gotten his chops wet a little bit in the coaching realm. I'm curious to see what he does with a team that's only returning 7 starters.
So again, this is going to be on August 24th at 7 p.m. When you're coming off a season like Vista had a year ago, this is kind of unique because, again, you mentioned Ramona, kind of step up potential competition. Vista, new head coach, didn't win a game a year ago. Like, how do you look at this? It's hard to really know with it being week one. What are your expectations for the way this game potentially plays out?
You know, I think if Vista can find a way to stop the run, because that's Ramona's bread and butter. They're really good at this RPO style offense. You never really know if it's going to be a quarterback keeper, if it's going to be a handoff through that A or B gap. They seldom throw the ball. If you go back to last year's numbers, John, this was a team in Ramona that threw the ball only 154 times all season, averaging 84 yards per game. Meanwhile, they ran the ball almost 3 times more than that, 140 yards per game. They also only needed about sub 300 yards per game to win most of these games because their defense is just that strong. They really pressure the pocket. They know how to spy the quarterback on the outside. You're not going to get much leverage in terms of trying to keep the football as a quarterback. Their defensive backs are really skilled at tackling and sticking in a man coverage. So it's hard to throw the ball against them. It's hard to run the ball against them. And so they don't really need a ton of yards offensively. They're probably going to ride the run. If you're Vista and you have a brand new defense and a new head coach, I think that you just try to blitz as much as possible. Try to frustrate the offensive line, wear them down. That's probably going to be your best bet. But again, this, the experience and the veteranship of Ramona and the identity and the culture they have built is going to play a ton of trouble for Vista in game number one of this season.
All right, so we're going to take a look at really all these games over the course of the fall, and we'll break them down, you know, week to week. But I do want to peek ahead, since we're talking about the entirety of the schedule, because you mentioned game two and the matchup that this is. I mean, Lincoln, Mater Dei, Thursday, September 7th. What type of matchup are we looking at? You said this could be one of the games of the year in San Diego.
It potentially, this could be the San Diego Super Bowl. I mean, the UT has Lincoln High School as its number one team in the preseason poll. Deservedly so. San Diego section open division champions a year ago, state champions a year ago, division one talent just splattered all across the football field. It is a really special squad. Most players are returning. They ended last year's postseason UT poll at number one. They're going to open up this year's preseason UT poll at number one. Modern Day Catholic, I mean, this is a school that is just built on toughness. They were at 11-4 last year. Three of their four losses were against top teams in the nation. Really, really good stuff from them. They always play in that Memorial Bowl that goes on, or they'll play the Lights of Bishop Gorman, or even some East Coast team. DeMatha sometimes comes out here. They'll play Cathedral Catholic. So they always have that preseason really, really tough, which is why they're so consistently winning their own division and their own conference. And when you're Lincoln, right, like this is a rivalry. You have a public school from the city and a private school from South Bay that both have a ton of winning culture. It's going to be a very juicy matchup week number two for us.
All right. So then let's I'm going to ask you to pick one other game. So we've got eight announced games. We talked a little bit about this opener. We have August 24th, Vista at Ramona. We've talked about this big matchup week two, our second game. It's actually September 7th, Lincoln at Mater Dei. We have six other announced games that we kind of ran through a handful of minutes ago. If there was one other you're circling, which game would that be and why?
It's a great question. There's just so many top quality matchups. I'm curious to see how Mount Miguel looks. I mentioned at the top that they have a brand new coaching staff of probably the most elite group of coaches in the 11 or the 7-on-7 scene in San Diego. I don't know if they have the talent, though. I think the St. Augustine Madison game, week 8 on Friday, October 20th, the rare Friday Your View broadcast that we will be doing at St. Augustine, a young team, new quarterback, a head coach that hasn't really fully figured it out in this new system now in his third year, and Coach Gladnick, but they're saying that the youth on this team, the talent from the youth, is the best in the county. I want to see if they can, what they can do offensively against a Madison team that might have the best defense in the county, dare I say it. I mean, they're returning basically their entire defensive line. They only have one new defensive back, incredibly skilled. They ended up in the top 10 last season overall in the post UT poll. Defensively, they were number two. And now you're talking about a team that's returning most of those players that is built on a defensive culture. If St. Augustine's offense is as primed to the pump as advertised and Madison's is defensively, I mean, this is going to be a battle of wits. And that's the game I would say is probably circled outside of that Lincoln Modern Day matchup.
Overall, within the county and with what we're going to see, are you seeing a level of parity across high school football, or has the top teams within the county gotten even better?
Yeah, that's a good question, John. I think it depends on who you ask, because football is such a cyclical sport, but it's also generational, right? You talk to people from the 70s and it was, you know, the Northern County teams, Ramona and Vista. I mean, Vista was a state powerhouse way back in the 90s into the mid 2000s. Before that, you had the South Bay teams who were dominating the county. So I think it depends on which generation of San Diego high school football fanatic you're asking, in terms of, oh, is it the same teams that have been perennially reloading and getting better every year? But I do think that there's some continuity, right? Lincoln, no surprise. Carlsbad, no surprise. Modern Day Catholic, no surprise. Those are your top three. But Granite Hills is not a team that has consistently won here in San Diego, and they're probably number four on my list, right? 13 starters returned. They're an East County school that was really built on grit and a RPO offense. And last year they won a state championship out of it. So that's a new school that is establishing its dominance. Helix is back on the rise. La Costa Canyon is back on the rise. El Camino is back on the rise. Chula Vista, a school that had to get outside help to get funding for its football field just 3 years ago, is on the rise. They have a quarterback who was maybe top 10 in the county. That is almost unheard of out in South Bay. So Del Norte, a school that started 12 years ago, is now on the rise. So I do think there's a ton of continuity. Imperial out in east part of the county. Actually, it's in Imperial County, but in the section, they've really recruited well in that local area in terms of getting really talented football athletes in their school system, and have almost built this culture from the middle school into the high school. So not really anything we've seen too much before here in San Diego. I would say, to answer your question after my very long-winded answer, is yes, there is a ton of continuity in this county.
No, I liked it. I like the answer. Before we go here, one more for you, because again, we're going to be on site at all these games coming up this fall. What type of atmosphere should we experience? High school football, Southern California, San Diego County, pomp and circumstance. How much are you looking forward to that, and what we're going to experience this fall?
You know, every school has a unique vibe to them, a unique culture to them. And I'm excited, you know, having done this, not on the Your View level, but having done this for other organizations in San Diego calling high school football, that's my favorite part of the job. Yes, it's amazing to show up and call some great plays, but at the end of the day, you're telling stories about these young, these student athletes who have a ton of potential, not just on the football field, but in life in general. And you get to help them represent their communities and tell their community stories. And you get to be part of the energy of a part of the county that you may never go to otherwise, right? The vibe at Ramona is going to be immaculate, but that's going to be different than at Modern Day Catholic, which will also be incredible, but in a completely different way. So each school, each fan base has something to offer that's completely unique. And that, to me, is probably the most exciting part about this job.
Football is back in San Diego. We've got it for you on Your View all fall long. And again, a reminder, this episode brought to you by Palomar Health. Champions aren't made overnight. They're created through practice, determination, and dedication. Palomar Health, champions of healthcare, champions for you. Jonathan, I'm looking forward to it, man. Me and you, game one, Vista, Ramona, August 24th. Thursday, August 24th at 7 p.m. Looking forward to it. And appreciate you taking some time for us today.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
All right. For Jonathan Rifkin, I'm John Schaefer. Again, this has been Left Coast Sports. We'll see you this fall. Again, week one action on Your View. Vista at Ramona, August 24th at 7 p.m. Until next time, this is John Schaefer for Left Coast Sports.